Organize Me Radio, episode 84, Benefits of Working with a Declutter Coach. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson, and today's guest is a declutter coach and professional organizer, and she is the founder and owner of Love Cleaning. Please welcome Jaycel Murphy. Welcome, Jaycel.
Hello, 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 everyone. Hi, Naima. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? I'm so happy that you're here.
Helming all the way from Canada.
Yes, Canada. Canada in the house. Canada. So, yeah. Jaycel, we're going to talk about decluttering and how you're a declutterer coach and your methods. But first, can you tell us, how did you get your start in the organizing industry?
Honey, that's such a good question, because I really, like, if you talk to my mother, the child I was, the person I used to be, would have never ended up in this field. Not at all. You know, I was very cluttered as a child. So my mother was the one who was organized. She was the one who had, you know, everything in its place in our home. And my bedroom door was the one that was always closed when people would come over. Because let me tell you, everything was everywhere. I think really when it came for me, it was more of a personal journey. That's how it began. It began with the passing of my partner in 2016 and me having to go down into our basement and sort through everything that was there. And as I was going through, you know, all of what was inside of our basement, there were a lot of emotions that were coming up, and there were some narratives that were coming up for me. And this is before I even knew decluttering was a thing. Like, I didn't even know that professional organizers existed. You know, I was just trying to face the, oh, you have to hold on to this because it was your partner's, or this could be a value one day. Like, all of these narratives that were coming up and convincing me that I needed to still hold on to things. I had to face those and come up with strategies for myself that would allow me to release what was inside of the basement. Cause let me tell you, that was packed up. It was a lot. So that experience led me down this path of looking into what I was experiencing, looking for help online. And that's kind of how I came across decluttering as a thing and professional home organizing as a thing. Because before that, my focus was really on my business, which was a cleaning business. I was in the cleaning service industry, still am. That's a part of our business model, but that was really where I was focused. I just didn't realize that this was a thing. So that's kind of how I got my start.
So first of all, sorry to hear about the passing of your partner. I know a lot of, you know, our clients that might have dealt with, you know, a death in the family or death of a loved one, that kind of changes how they organize as well. Or, you know, they could, you know, start keeping more clutter and things like that. So I think it's interesting that that's when you decided to become, you know, a professional organizer and focus on declutter. So you are a declutter coach. How did you decide to take that on?
Yeah. I after having gone through what I went through and having kind of understood that the narratives that were coming up weren't my own, that they belonged to, say, family members, right? My parents, maybe, or my grandparents. That's kind of their model of the world and how they saw their belongings and their quote unquote clutter, because it's not all clutter, but their things. I kind of overcame some, so to speak, demons, right? Some things that were like holding me back. I was able to overcome them. My clutter wasn't as rude to me. And I realized that during the COVID lockdowns, there were a lot of people who needed support. They needed to figure out how to restructure their homes so that spaces could serve multiple functions. But then they also had a lot of things that needed to be kind of shifted either out of the home or to another place in the home. And so when I got on calls with folks and were helping them to kind of navigate that area of their life and that kind of really difficult time for all of us, it led me down the path of honing that skill that I had, but also sharing that new skill with other people and helping them find a sense of calm and freedom and, you know, feeling less overwhelmed with the whole process. Like just even giving them a place to start was like finding gold at the end of the rainbow for a lot of people. It was like, I don't know, godsend, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the main principles of declutter coaching?
Okay, this is a really good question. And I think that I wouldn't necessarily speak for the entire industry here, because I think that all of us have a different core for decluttering, right? We have a different reason. Some people would say it's, you know, editing down, right? I like to think of our things as items that we serve and that things that serve us, right? So part of decluttering is identifying what we're able to serve and what is serving us inside of our home. But at the end of the day, for me and my practice, it's about making decisions. It's about decisiveness. It's about deciding whether or not we're going to keep something in our home, or we're going to share it with someone else. We're going to repurpose it, right? But because we have so many things in our home, it's this incredible practice that transcends out of our home into our daily lives. So for example, if you're a, you know, C-suite director, you know, and you are responsible for making multiple decisions that affect, you know, people in a significant way, or a business, multi-million dollar businesses, honing that decisiveness faculty, that muscle, can be done when you practice decluttering in your own personal spaces, which I think is just, it's such a gift. You know, sometimes we look at clutter and we say, oh my gosh, I hate all of it. Yeah. And I like to look at it as like this big blessing that's giving you all of these opportunities to practice decisiveness.
Okay, got it. So you also have something that you use called the order method. Yeah. What is that? Tell us more about it.
Okay. So order is somewhat new. It is something that it's interesting, right? Because sometimes we have methods in our practice that are very kind of linear. And so you have to follow them step by step. Whereas order is not necessarily something that you have to go in order to complete. It's a little more arborist. And so when you look at the O in order, it's an acronym. In order stands for opening up. So it's the first part of the process. It's where we decide and we recognize that, you know, there has to be a change. And so we make that decision to make that change, to reach out for help. That can be a part of the opening up process. Another part of the opening up process can be vision, right? What is my vision for this space, right? Starting with, how do I see my family in this space? How do I see me moving through this space? How do I see me using my devices, right? Because we're now talking about digital clutter. How do I see myself interacting in relationship, right? We're talking about relationship clutter here, right? And that is a thing too. So how do I see myself using my time? So it transcends again as well out of just the physical home or the office space or the storage space, so to speak. It's a willingness to enter into, I would imagine, a space of grace. And also in the order, or the opening up part rather, we can also do things like meditations, like visualizations, that sort of thing. So after that's the foundation has been set in our mindset, then we want to get into reviewing. We want to review everything that is inside of our home, right? So this is where we look at our SMART goals. What are my goals, right? We're looking at, what are the items inside of my home? We're taking stock. We're thinking about the utility of everything that's here. And it's interesting, right? Because sometimes that can come before we've had time to really kind of vision. We've had time to set the vision before we've had time to even invite somebody in to help us, right? We can look around our home and we can take stock of what's there. But it's really about as well thinking about the narratives that are coming up for me. When I look around my house, what are some of the things that are convincing me I need to hold on to them a little bit longer, right? Next, we go to the D in order, which is to decide, right? And that is, again, is like the core of decluttering, right? It's about deciding, making those decisions. Where do things go, right? Where am I, if I have this shirt, guaranteed this shirt comes with a story. I bought it one day. I wore it to this particular event, or maybe it's a dress that you wore to your cousin's wedding, or maybe it's your wedding dress, right? So there's that connection that we have to that piece. But just like with anything else, any other cyclical nature, right? Anything that has a cyclical nature, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so the same is true with our belongings, right? There's going to come a time where our relationship with that thing is going to end. And so we have to decide what happens to that thing at the end of the story. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to let it go, right? Sometimes it just means that we have to store it. It's not on display regularly, right? Maybe we put it into a storage unit, or we just tuck it away. Or if it's that picture of, I don't know, Aunt Bertha that we really don't like, but she comes over every year for the holidays, and, you know, just having her picture up in our home every day throughout the year is grating on our nerves. We can pack it away until the holidays and pull it out when Aunt Bertha comes over, you know, like there's ways to kind of manipulate, but also like really thinking about, okay, what am I going to do with the items inside of my home? So it's about making some of those decisions. It is the decluttering process, but it's not the actual work, which is the E, which is editing, right? This is now the work. Now we're getting into the actual moving things around. How do we use our home? How do we want to maintain our home? It's all going to factor into the editing process. We can have a whole wardrobe of clothing, right? The thing is that if that wardrobe keeps coming undone, clothes keep ending up on the floor, things kind of are, you know, not being put back inside of the baskets that are on the top shelves, it kind of feels like it's tumbling over on us. Then in that space, we have to think about, okay, how do I want this going back to our vision? What was my vision for the space? How do I want to function in this space? And then we're editing it down to fit that vision, right? So those clothing that maybe we only use seasonally, those can be packed away outside of the closet. And if we don't have the space, it can just be put down and toward the back. So it's not taking up prime real estate in our closet, in those spaces where we need to access really quickly, right? So thinking of the center of the closet, when we open up the doors, what do we want to see first, right? Everything else can be put away. And then last is release. And I think that this is another big part of decluttering. It's not the main part because, like I said earlier, not everything is released. But if you want to create space, honey, some things have to go, right? In order to create space, you have to make space. And so in the editing process, sorry, in the releasing process, this is where, you know, maybe in our strategic planning earlier, we've thought about, okay, you know what, the Cancer Association or the veterans, you know, community are really close to my heart. And I would like for some of my belongings to go there. Or maybe you're helping a family member to declutter, right? And so for them, maybe they served in the military or the Navy. And so you want some of those items to go to an organization that's close to their heart. It could be the Red Cross, it could be whomever. So that's pretty much where we're releasing. We're releasing these items, but we're also saying to ourselves, it's not my responsibility to make sure that these items go to the perfect place. Sometimes we get it wrong, right? We get it wrong. We feel like we do anyways. Maybe we don't actually get it wrong, but we feel like we got it wrong. Because instead of donating to, let me go back to, or maybe it's, I don't know, March of Dimes, you know, we say, I'm just going to donate it to Value Village. Right. And we all know that Value Village is a great place to donate to. I love donating to them. They can resell their items. They are a for-profit business. However, some people don't really like that because they want it to go more to a charitable organization. Right. And so if you feel like you've donated to an organization like Value Village or any other, call it whatever you want, some people may feel like they've let somebody down. When you are overcome and overwhelmed with clutter, sometimes it just has to go. Right. So thinking about where it should go can hinder the process. It can really stop you in your tracks. So releasing it is really just about letting the item go and letting it go to where it needs to go. Not everything needs to be sold either. that's a whole other cause for conversation and topic, because that can really stall people. They maybe don't realize how involved selling, reselling items can be, and how much space it can take up in a home, and how on top of the process you have to stay in order to maintain and have items move as frequently so that you can get that money back. You know, you can reclaim some of that investment. And sometimes the investment is not in a monetary value, right? It's about donating it to somebody who needs it and allowing that experience of the other person to be the value of that exchange, as opposed to a dollar amount. Make sense?
Yes. I think that entire order method is just perfect when it comes to declutter. And like when you think about decluttering and how to explain it to people, how to explain how they should let go. You mentioned with the decision stage that everything has a beginning, middle, and end. And I've never heard it quite like that. And it's like, okay, I need you to talk to my mom, because my mother, I am constantly always trying to help her declutter. And maybe I'll explain it to her in that way. But I feel like that's kind of like an aha moment that maybe I can use with my mother, who's my biggest client, who's always been my biggest client, and who has trouble with just accumulating things and then not letting things go, you know? So just like hearing that there's a beginning, middle, and end to everything. And that includes, you know, that dress that you only wore once.
Right. That dress that we only wore to that gala one time. It's so interesting, right? Because there's people out there who will collect these dresses for young women who are going off to prom who don't have a prom dress. Yeah. And being able to access something like that for our clients is such a gift, you know, because then, hey, you know, and maybe that's a part of your work with mom, is finding those organizations that are close to her heart and encouraging her to release. Because there's something else I'll share with you. If something is inside of our homes and it's not being used, we're rendering it useless, right? And so if we want it to be useful and we're not using it, we have to shift that energy outside of our home. We have to give that thing away to someone else so that that item can be made useful again. Otherwise, it's dead energy. It's stagnant energy inside of our home. And we certainly do not want to be encompassed or enveloped by stagnant energy, especially when we're trying to move forward in our lives.
Right. So as a declutter coach, what have you seen as one of the biggest reasons for your clients accumulating clutter?
They've lived life. We've all lived life. You know, we were girls in grade school, and we probably have letters from like our first boyfriends, and, you know, we were off to high school. My mother was just visiting the other day, and I pulled up my uniform from high school.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, it does not fit right now. But my eldest got a laugh at how short my kilt was, you know, but like everything we collect has memories, you know, it tells parts of our story and it anchors us to our past, right? It affirms sometimes our beliefs and our culture. I noticed you have a lot of books on your shelf there behind you. Right. So it can exemplify our intellect or our interests. You know, it's something that we can share with people. I think that people just, we have things because we're living, you know, and if we weren't living, I mean, come on, we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't be here to have anything, yeah. You know? So I think that it's a natural part of our existence, is to collect things. I think where it becomes a bit of an issue is when we can't manage what we have, or we begin to collect a lot, and kind of to what we were just speaking about, the cycle of life, right? We don't know when the end is. I think we've been convinced that there's, you know, the happily ever after until all eternity, you know?
Right.
And it's just for some things, not for everything, but for some things that narrative it cannot be applied here. It would be nonsensical, right? And we can see that in our space when things begin to overflow. And so then we just have to ask the question, is this narrative that I'm believing about these things still relevant when I consider time and context, right? Where I am in my life right now, what I'm pursuing in my life right now, where my family is right now, is this narrative still serving us, right? In college, we needed all of those textbooks. Now we don't, right? Because technology and information progresses, and it progresses quickly. So we can find this information online. There's other resources out there. It's just a matter of like really looking at what matters to us, mm-hmm, and putting it into perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I got to say, the books that I have on my shelf, those are the, yes, only books that I have. Only books. Now my kids, that's a different story, but you know, yeah. But I do, I think that's important to note though. So the books that I've decided to keep are, mm-hmm, books that I go back to for reference, you know, might be my cookbooks, like my soul food cookbooks, you know, it could be a book that I've had signed by someone, organizing books that I might go back to and reference occasionally, and, you know, ADHD books and things of that nature. So, mm-hmm, I feel like, you know, when you are deciding what to let go, you know, make sure you're not keeping a book that will just collect dust, you know? Yes, so
absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And I love that your children have a library separate from yours.
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. My youngest has so many books, and my oldest, he will, you know, when he's done with the book, he's done. He reads it, he's done, you know? So it's like, it's not hard for him to let go, but then we keep it for the next one because maybe, yes, he'll be interested in that. So, ooh, yeah.
Absolutely. And that saves money. And it's also a nice way to pass along an experience to someone else, right, you know, the next one's coming up.
Right. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that.
So for people who are interested in decluttering, but maybe they can't afford professional help, maybe they're not ready for professional help, because, you know, that's a whole thing, like, you know, preparing yourself for a professional to come in and work with you. For those people that want to try to do it on their own, what advice would you offer them? How should they start?
Yeah, I love this question. There's a few ways to start, and I think it would depend on the space itself. I think that most people want to jump in and take action first, right? They want to see the change in their space. And so to that, I would say to those folks, I would say, you know, then grab a garbage bag, grab a recycling bag, walk through your home, and clear out any boxes. I mean, Amazon boxes, shoe boxes, whatever looks like it's garbage, it's ready to go. And that's easily identifiable. You don't really have to consider that too much. Things that are maybe broken and, you know, they're not going to be able to be fixed and they're not going to be donated. They're likely going to end up in the landfill or the transfer station or something along those lines. Like, just go ahead and just give yourself permission to let, I'm giving you permission. How about that? To clear it out. any flyers or paper that's kind of hanging around the house, go ahead and release all of that. But for the person who's really wanting to kind of prepare themselves internally for the process, really sitting down and thinking about what space is your biggest pain point. For some people, it's the entry of their home. For others, it's their kitchen. It could be that, you know, basement or that storage, whatever, wherever the space is. Just kind of enter into that space. You don't physically have to go there. It could be in your mind's eye, but get yourself into that space and just have a few minutes with yourself and ask yourself, you know, what do I really want from this space? How do I really want the space to function and to feel? How do I want the space to support me and my family? And just take a few minutes and really envision yourself in that space, you know, and as you come to the end of that visualization, kind of step outside of your body. Kind of go high up in your mind's eye, kind of almost looking down on yourself in that space and really see yourself in that space. See yourself, what are you doing in that space? Who are you talking to in that space? Who's living in that space with you? Who have you invited into that space? What are you guys doing together? Are you guys eating? Are you guys having a glass of wine? Are you guys watching a movie? Are you reading to your children? Like, what is happening in that space? And then come back down into yourself, you know, allow yourself to come back down into yourself and just open up your eyes, take a deep breath in, connect to your surroundings again, touch a table if you need to, feel the ground under your feet, and go on with your day. You know, you don't necessarily have to take action right away in order to prepare yourself internally for this process.
I love that. Good, wise advice. I really love it.
Funny enough, that's called in neuro-linguistic programming. I'm a neuro-linguistic programming coach. Kind of coming out of yourself like that and having that bird's eye view is considered the wise old owl perspective.
Okay.
So, become the wise old owl in your own space.
Okay. I'm going to become a wise old owl too. So can you tell us, what is the easiest place to declutter, just generally speaking? What's the easiest place to go if they want to, let's say they want to tackle a project? What should they do? Should it be a shelf, a drawer, a closet? What should they do?
I personally love the bedside table. I love the bedside table because it's a space that I know I use frequently. You know, it's a place that most people use frequently. It's a space that for most people, they want it to be tranquil and restorative, right? That's kind of the vibes that you get when you're in your bedroom anyways. It's what the bedroom represents. It represents restoration because you go to sleep and you wake up restored, revitalization, rest, tranquility, all of that should be language that is used kind of when describing the bedroom anyways. So things like busyness, you might want to think about like moving out of the bedroom. So for example, if you're pressed for space and you have to have your clothes in a hamper outside of the closet, that's totally fine. Just making sure that maybe the clothes end up inside of the hamper. And the cue to know that, okay, the laundry needs to be done is when the clothes start to overflow, right? That's a visual cue, and take that as somebody tapping you on your shoulder and going, hey, look, get that done. You know, so, oh my gosh, there's so many ways that you can kind of begin. It could be the entry. It could just be like organizing the shoes, you know, and making that a point to an intentionality behind it, right? Every single time I come in, I'm going to organize these shoes because it's not just me. Maybe you have, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 kids, or maybe 1 or 2 children, or just, you know, a husband or a wife who's, you know, unkempt, that sort of thing, or a partner who's unkempt. So, you know, just kind of making that a priority. And it's not because you're doing it for the other person, you're doing it for yourself. You're not cleaning up after the other person, right? You're cleaning up for yourself, for your own home, because this is something that you want to see when you come into your home. You want to experience this. Maybe you want this for your family. When we change the narrative of why we're doing the things that we do, it becomes a part of who we are. It's kind of like an affirmation, you know, I am healthy, I am wise, I am full, I am successful, right? My home is. And so you could create a little affirmation in your mind and repeat that to yourself as you're doing the work, you know, my home is my sanctuary. And so anything that falls outside of that, that doesn't scream sanctuary to you, like you walk into your home and there's shoes everywhere, that's not a sanctuary. Yeah. So my home is my sanctuary. And as you do that, you clean up everyone's shoes.
Okay. That's great. Okay. So I think you have dropped so many just, you know, gems on us.
And I'm trying to help everybody. I'm trying to hit everyone.
And I love it. And I think if people are really listening, then it will truly help them if, you know, decluttering is something, if it's their goal, you know, if it's something that they're trying to get into, if it's something they need to learn how to do. I think if they're really listening and paying attention to the things you've been saying throughout this entire episode, I think that they will be on the right track. So can you tell us, what are the benefits of working with a declutter coach? Why should someone hire a declutter coach?
Yeah, I think for a lot of the reasons that we have discussed here today, You know, when we don't know, we don't know. When we don't know that there's a narrative that's kind of speaking to us beneath our, you know, kind of in our blind spots, we don't know it's there. We just think that it's a part of who we are. We don't even know that we can challenge it. We don't even know that there's an alternative, right? What is the alternative? And I think that working with a declutter coach helps you to see those possibilities. We can get so caught in doing things our way, doing things one way. And I think that we get frustrated or, you know, and I say we, because I was there too. It's totally my story as well. I think that we get frustrated because we're trying to fix something. We just don't know how to fix something. So it's like, we just keep hitting our head against the wall. Right. And we're not making any headway. And I think that when you bring in someone like myself, or, you know, like yourself or any other professional organizer or declutter coach out there, we have seen so many homes. We have lived experience ourselves, right? Yeah. And we just have a different perspective. We can show you things not from, you know, a human to human, person to person perspective. Hey, I understand what you're going through, you know, and there's ways to resolve this, but we've studied. Right? We've attended the conferences, we've applied, we've taken the courses, we've graduated, we have our resource books that we pull on, right? And we actually use them because we're working with so many people. We have that experience to bring to you. So it's kind of like having a fitness trainer. You know, you can go into the gym and you can work out. Sure, there's equipment there and there's little signs that tell you how to use the equipment. But when you have a personal trainer working with you, they know how to identify when you're at your limit, how to push you a little bit past that limit so that you get the result that you're looking for. But they also know when to pull back and to really listen to you. And I think that that's what we do so well. Right. We know when to increase the weights, so to speak. Right. So that we can really work those muscles. But then when somebody's really having a hard time, we also have in our repertoire the ability to pull back and to empathetically listen. And as a coach, ask those questions that really challenge the thinking behind the behavior, so that when I leave, it's not just a matter of, you know, having a beautiful home. Is huge, right? I think that's part of the big goal why we want to have somebody come in and to help to, you know, reset our home and restructure our home, but more so that the behavior is changed so that down the road, you don't need someone like me. You've got the capacity and the executive functioning skill to carry yourself and your family through generationally, right? Because when you change at that level, under the support of a coach, it's like a ripple effect, right? You change, you heal, everyone else around you heals.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So this has been such great information. I am so thankful that you were able to share all of these, you know, tips to help people declutter. But now I have to ask you, what are some of your favorite organizing products?
A good bin. I like a good basket. I really like a good basket. I love a good Lazy Susan. I think I have a lot of those just because I like how they, you know, they're not stationary. Well, they're not because they move. Like a bin, a rectangular bin, you put it in. Actually, you know what? I don't even know. I love a good bin because you can use it as a drawer. It contains everything. You can connect them. And then you've got like two drawers. Like, I mean, there's so many things you can do with bins. I love using them in space. I love creating space around bins, right? So you've got like, anyways, I love a good Lazy Susan because you can use them in corners and kind of get access to all of those things that you maybe wouldn't otherwise be able to reach if you just had a bin in a corner. But I think more importantly, I love finding unique ways to use these systems, these tools, right? So for example, I was at an event the other day and, well, it was like last month, but I noticed that a company, and I won't say their name, but the company used a kick plate in a drawer. Huh. Like, yeah. And I was like, because it had that spring mechanism. Oh. So now you have drawer inside of a drawer that sprung out. I was just like, wow, like mind blown. I want that in every install I do, yeah. You know? So I really like finding ways to use things, you know, in different ways. Like, for example, I'll just pull this up here. This is just a little bowl. I found it in the kitchen section. Something like this you could use in your entryway to put keys, coins. You could use it inside of your bathroom, even though I found it in the kitchen. You could put your jewelry inside of here. There's so like, right. So like really thinking outside of the box and using things in different spaces. That's kind of what I love. So any product that allows me to do that, bang on.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. Okay. Now, last question. Can mm-hmm. you tell me what is your greatest professional achievement?
Well, let me just first start off by saying to God be the glory, because for when I think about from whence I came, you know, I by all intents and purposes, I should not be in this role, right? Most people would say, oh, wow, like, you know, you're so cluttered. How could you possibly be a declutter coach or a home organizer? You know, you lived with chronic disorganization. How could you possibly teach other people how to do this? And I think it's really truly only by the grace of God. Because, honey, when you are at your end and you're on your knees and you're praying, you're asking him for help, and the help that he gives you not only helps you to overcome, but then helps other people transform their lives, that's a blessing. And it's an honor to be a blessing in that regard. So I think that, is it my professional achievement? I'm not 100% sure. I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, it's just, it was a major transformation, and it is an achievement for sure. Because I think that even when we're in those spaces where we're asking for help or we need help, and it changes our lives in such a way that it then becomes a profession, right? We still have to be willing to show up and to do the work. And so I'm grateful for the capacity and the tenacity. And I think that that would be then the achievement is sticking with it. That's that stick-to-itiveness, you know, to keep going when it looked like it wasn't gonna, you know, anything was gonna happen. When I kept seeing myself fall back into the old patterns, you know, I just kept going. And I think it's a practice that I've it's become a part of who I am. In my business, I have the same energy. You know, I don't think we become entrepreneurs to, you know, for everything to be easy. There has to be this drive to like solve issues and to keep going. And, you know, when it feels like things are coming undone, recognizing, and I think through this work that, okay, it's just the system has to change. Let me find ways to tweak the system and make it better for where I am right now. Right. And then just kind of continuing on with that. So it's a challenging question for me to answer because it's so tied to my relationship with God and how he's impacted my life. But then at the same time, I know that part of that requires, like I said earlier, for us to take action. Otherwise, he could keep talking and nothing's going to change if we don't do something. But is that by my own strength? I don't know. I don't know, honey. So many. That's a deep question.
Giselle, you know what? I just want to thank you for being on. I really appreciate your time. I think this is great. Can you tell everyone how they can find out more information about you?
Yes. Yes. So you can go to lovecleaning.ca. And CA is for Canada, but lovecleaning.ca. And that's the website. You can also find me on Instagram at lovecleaning.gta. GTA stands for Greater Toronto Area, which again is in Toronto, Canada. So GTA, lovecleaning.gta. And I'm usually in my inbox. I mean, if you need to connect with me, you can always, I think my phone number is listed. So it's like, send me a text. It's probably the easiest way to get in touch. But yeah, always looking forward to connecting with people. And if you book, I think I still have the free consultations where you can just call and ask questions. So even if you have like specific questions for me that weren't answered here and you want to know, learn more about my processes and that sort of thing, and how it fits into your lifestyle or to your situation, feel free to book a call.
Thank you all for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time for an all new episode.